So how is everyone? Yeah. Use your time. Yeah. We are in the human world. Yeah. We should use our time, not waste it. Waste it with doing this and doing that. Building this, building that. I mean, think about it, you know, I often talked about it, you know, even when we come back at, in the human life, we have to learn to walk, to talk, you know, to think, yeah. And we got, need to go to school. But not only this, yeah. I mean, when we come back, you know, when we go into the working world, you know, I mean, we learn a profession, yeah. In this life, yeah, we become a doctor. In the next life, we have to learn it again. And to learn it again, yeah. Or a scientist, we have to learn it again and again. Each time we come back in the human, in the human world, I mean, it's pretty much erased. All these things that we've done, all the things, all the wealth that we acquired, the houses that we built, the companies that we, you know, that we did, yeah. It's all gone. The moment we die, it's all gone. Yeah? And in the next life, we have to do it again. And again, and again, and again. The only thing that remains, you know, when we go and die, you know, some of the skills, you know, that we learned in this life, and especially, you know, of course, the good karma and the bad karma. So, think about this very clearly, yeah? I mean, you cannot take anything, yeah, that you've done in this world, you know, with you in the next world, except for your karma and some of the skills. But even the skills, you know, if you learn, you know, how to meditate in this life and in the next life you don't meditate, I mean you slowly forget the skill. Yeah. Maybe in this life you practice very hard, you know, and then you go to heaven and you forget everything. Yeah? It's so nice, why should we practice, yeah? And then we come back in the human world, you know, and we have to relearn the skill. Of course, if we've done it before, you know, it will come back to us slowly, yeah. It's just like a language, you know, I mean, a language that we learned when we were 20 or 18 or 16, yeah, and then didn't use it for 30 years, you know, and then we have to relearn it again. Yeah, I mean, the beginning is always hard, you know, but it comes back to us, yeah. And that's the same with any kind of skill. Be it, learn it, you know, becoming a doctor, you know, or becoming a scientist or whatever, yeah. The fame, you know, the fame that we have acquired, you know, it's gone the moment we die. Yeah? The power that we have acquired, you know, look at all the people who want to be very powerful, yeah. It's all gone, yeah. And we have to do it again, yeah? And again, and again. Yeah? And most of the time, I mean, maybe we have to do it in the human life. Yeah? I mean, it's hard work, yeah? Why don't you find, you know, ask yourself, why don't you find the way out, you know, out of samsara? Yeah? Just like in my last talk, you know, I said, you know, there are four things, you know, that don't diminish. Yeah? When we die, there are four things, you know, we can take with us, yeah, into the next life. And this one is sotapanna, the stream entry. That is not erased, yeah. The stream entry is fixed, yeah. Whatever, you know, when we attain to stream entry in this life, in the next life, is still our stream entry, yeah. Or once returner, or non-returner. And, yeah, arahant, you know, I mean, they don't come back anyway, yeah. But the anagami comes back, you know, but not in the human life or not in the Deva world, you know, in the heavenly world, yeah, I mean, he goes into his own five realms of existence, yeah. From there, he goes into Nibbana. Yeah. I mean, that is something, you know, that we acquire, that we achieve in this life, that we can take in our next life. If we achieve, you know, to be one of the greatest doctors, you know, a heavenly doctor in this world, yeah, in this life, you know, I mean, in next life, we have to study again. It doesn't come like this. I was 3 years, 4 years old. Oh, I was a doctor, you know. I mean, I don't have to study anymore. No. We have to learn it again and again and again. Yeah, I mean, that is tiring when we think about it. But most of us, we don't think about it. Yeah? All what we do is we run after our senses. Yeah? The sense of the eye, the sense of the ear, the sense of the nose, yeah? The sense of the tongue, the sense of the body, yeah? Touching, yeah? And the sense of thinking. That's what we run afterwards. We never ask, you know, what is the purpose of it? Because the senses, yeah, are anicca, yeah? I mean, we eat something, you know, something deliciously, you know, I mean, and after a while, you know, the sense is gone, yeah? Then we have to eat it again. And we ate it again. Ah, this was so nice. We have to eat it again, and again, and again, and again. Because the senses, you know, are of fleeting nature, yeah? They are anicca, yeah? They come and they go, they come and they go. It's the same with the feelings. They come and they go. They come and they go. Yeah, we cannot keep anything. Huh? We cannot hold on to anything. So why do we feel so attached to them? But that is what we do. Yeah, when we look at the world, that's what they do. They run after their senses. Yeah. A senseless hankering after sense gratification. Yeah. And next life, the same thing. Yeah? They don't notice that these things are anicca, yeah? That they are not lasting. But there is something that is much more lasting, and that is, for instance, you know, entering samadhi. Yeah? Entering samadhi, you know, where we are at peace, you know, where we're stillness, or where we're happy, you know, or where there's a lot of joy. Yeah? This lasts longer. It's not impermanent. Yeah. It's not permanent, yeah, but it lasts longer and gives us more gratification, yeah. But it's so difficult for us to do, yeah. I mean, yeah, especially nowadays with our smartphones, yeah? We just pull, you know, we just look, yeah. I mean, wasting hours, you know, on TikTok movies or, you know, looking up this, looking up that, yeah. I mean, we waste our time, yeah. As if our time would not be precious. It is very precious, so we shouldn't waste it in this way. So that's what I want to say. Yes, Annie, did you listen very well?
Yes, I'm
full. I hope you remember it, yeah. Because next life, you know, I mean, you might become an accountant again, you know, and do it all again, yeah. Okay, so if there are any questions, you know, go ahead and ask them.
Okay. Thank you, Lampo, for the talk. Dhamma talk. Anyone has any questions, you can raise your hand.
Good evening, Arjun. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Yes, I have the camera off. Wanted to ask that I've never heard you describe much about the fruits of the path, the nirvana, the nibbana. Like you say a lot about ending dukkha, ending a lot of suffering.
Yeah.
And we'll get rid of suffering by the practice, but I don't really know exactly what happens when you are enlightened, or how is it? Like, are you blissful all the time? Or is it, I don't know, like, what are the fruits? What are we striving towards? So, you know, you don't feel motivated much if you don't know what you are aiming for. At least that's for me personally.
Ah.
Like, in Christianity and other religions, there's some beautiful concepts of, you know,
yeah, unification concept
with the God.
I mean, it's just a concept. Yeah.
But it still feels nice. I mean, you long for the unification with God or something higher. But in Buddhism, I mean, in the Dhamma, I don't see any.
Nibbana is unification with yourself, you know, with all beings. Yeah? That's a unification. It's the extinction of dukkha, and it's the extinction of the fire that burns our heart, yeah? I mean, when you look very closely, you know, at your heart, you know, it constantly wants to do something. That is a fire. Yeah? That is the fire burning, and if you look closer through meditation, then this fire is actually quite a lot of dukkha. Yeah, you want to do something, yeah, but you don't know why. Yeah, something, you know, you when you sit in meditation, you want to get up. When you get up, you know, you want to do this. Then you want to do that. That is the fire. Yeah, the fire of greed. You know that, you, or restlessness. Yeah. Or discomfort, you know, I mean, that constantly drives us mad. I mean, look at it, that's why I normally say, you know, look at it much closer. But if you want to know, yeah, I mean, you talked about Christianity, it's a concept, but, you know, people cannot experience it. But actually, you could experience Nibbana, yeah, as a preview of Nibbana, if you go into deep samadhi, yeah. And then I guarantee you, you know, when you come out, yeah, the first thought that you have is, I want to go back. Yeah? I mean, you can really, you know, I mean, what Nibbana is about, you can experience it, yeah? Or at least the preview of Nibbana, you can experience it. And everybody who puts his mind to it, yeah, I mean, can experience it if he wants to, yeah? If you want to know, yeah, what Nibbana is like, go into deep samadhi where the whole universe disappears, because that is what is happening, you know, when somebody attained, you know, Nibbana. Yeah? The universe disappears. Yeah? The body is still there, you know. I mean, he's still, you know, as long as he is there, he still sees and he still has the dukkha of the body. Yeah? I mean, how can he not have the dukkha of the body? Yeah. But he doesn't care so much. Yeah. He just sees, you know. I mean, when... When you know, when a snake bites him, or when a centipede bites him, you know, he still has the dukkha, yeah. I mean, Lungdam Mahabhor once showed us, you know, oh, ah! He cried out, you know, and everybody was running to his kuti, you know, and then we investigate somebody, you know, when he was doing chankram, you know, the carp, yeah. You see two things, you know, two holes, you know, two punctures, yeah, and it was at a cup, yeah, and it is very painful, yeah. So he has the pain of the body, you know, but he doesn't suffer, yeah? Just like us, we suffer, yeah. Yeah, so if you want to know, yeah, I mean, even, I don't understand that, you know. I mean, everybody says, I don't know what Nibbana is, yeah. I mean, Nibbana is the freedom. It's the freedom, it's the absolute freedom, yeah. And it's the absolutely, what did the Lord Buddha say? Paramang Sukhang. It is the ultimate happiness, yeah. So, go into and experience it. But what I don't understand is, yeah, I mean, when there was a gold rush in California, I mean, people heard about it, but they didn't see the gold. They just heard about it, the gold. Oh, gold, 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 you know, there's a lot. I mean, people took a trip, you know, over the ocean, from Europe, over the ocean, traveled through the whole of America, you know, and then, you know, I mean, just to find a little piece of gold. Yeah? Just the idea, you know, just the idea, you know, makes people go, yeah. And the Nibbana, the idea is you're free from dukkha. And don't you see the dukkha in your life? If not, you know, I mean, do some reflection. In the morning when you get up, you know, I mean, you don't want to get up. There's already dukkha, the dukkha of the body. Then you're hungry, it's a dukkha. Yeah? Then you're thirsty, it's dukkha. Then you need to go to the toilet, it's dukkha. Yeah? Then you're tired, it's dukkha. It's only the dukkha of the body. Then you see something you don't like, dukkha, yeah? You meet somebody you don't like, dukkha, yeah? You want something that you don't get, dukkha. I mean, don't you see the dukkha in your life? Don't you want to get rid of the dukkha in your life, huh? Understand?
Yeah, I do want to get rid of it, but I feel like in my immature mind, I feel like that if this desire is satisfied, somehow, some way, then I'll be much happier than getting rid of that desire.
Huh? I mean, if you follow the desire becomes even stronger. That's the nature of desire. Yeah? Yeah? You want something, you know, and you want more of it, and more of it, more of it. Huh? The more you follow the desire, you know, I mean, the more it grows, yeah? But there's a desire that we can use, yeah? The desire to practice, yeah? The desire to sit, you know, for 5 or 6 hours. The desire, you know, to at least to make it, you know, in this life to Sotapanna. Yeah? That is the desire that we need to use, yeah? Without desire, you know, we cannot finish the task, yeah? So we have to direct it, we have to use the desire, you know, in order, you know, to get to where we want to, yeah? But we have to find the right goal, yeah? If you just follow the desire of the senses, I mean, you end up with nothing, yeah? Even with more emptiness and with more desire. Yeah? You understand
yes.
that?
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, you know it from your own experience.
Yes, sir. I don't know, I'm not able to rephrase it, but there's something which is lacking inside me. I feel like another person can maybe somehow fulfill that desire in me by just... I have this great feeling that, you know, that in Nirvana there's just you, right?
There's a what?
Nothing. There's just you. There's only self and nothing else.
No, there's no self.
Yeah, so there's nothing, non-existent.
No, no. I mean, the Lord Buddha said very clearly, neither am I nor am I not. That's how he described Nibbana. And if you go there, I mean, you have the ability, you know, you need a lot of effort and persistence, you know. You have the ability to go into deep samadhi, yeah. And that is the preview of Nibbana, yeah. Because it's...
Why is it said that you need lots of previous lives, merits and karma to get into samadhi quickly and, you know, to just progress in spirituality? It's like there's not really much you can do in present life.
Oh yes.
Rely on your paramis at all.
Yes. You don't know what you have done. I mean, you wouldn't have found, you know, the way to this YouTube channel, you know, if you didn't had some of the experiences, you know, from your previous lives. Huh? So these are just excuses that are pushed up by the kilesas, you know, to make you not to work on this. Huh? You don't know. Huh? You don't know how long it took. Yeah. I mean, I think it was in the last talk. Huh? I mean, even though I had, you know, practiced a lot in my previous lives, yeah, it took me nearly 2 years, you know, to get into samadhi. It was hard work. But then, you know, once I entered samadhi, it was fine, yeah? I could go there very quickly. But before, you know, the first meditation session, I remember, you know, after 5 minutes, my head was on the floor. I couldn't sit. I had all this fire in my heart, yeah? I mean, I couldn't bear it, you know? I thought, you know, I mean, looked around, you know, how can they sit still straight, yeah? And it took me one and a half years until I could sit straight, you know, and get a little bit of quietude, yeah? And then sooner or later, you know, I went into samadhi, and then it showed me, there's something, yeah? I mean, it takes persistence and effort, yeah? Just like everything in our life, yeah? If you want to become an engineer or a doctor, it takes persistence and it takes effort, yeah? Nothing falls out of thin air, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, don't get fooled by the kilesas who said, you know, I don't... A lot of Thai people say the same thing. Oh, I don't have enough merit. How do you know if you don't try? Yeah?
I mean, I've been trying meditation, not really that sincerely, but for a couple of years, more than 2 years.
Yeah?
I have experienced samadhi yet. I'm not comparing my level to yours. Not at all.
Yeah, how long do you practice per day?
At my best, I was doing 2 hours a day. Yeah. My best, like, that was best for me. And sometimes 3 hours, I don't know. Yeah. But right now, I'm doing mostly, inconsistently, 1 hour or 2 hours a day. 1 hour or 1.5 hours. I get peacefulness sometimes, and I, you know, develop some kinds of techniques which are helpful. Like one of the techniques I recently got into was treating my breath as a friend.
Mm.
It got me very concentrated on that, yeah, by doing that.
I mean, you need
that. Even then, later I started to, you know, doubting my own technique that.
No.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm doing is it even rational? Is it even logical or not?
These are the kilesas. You know, if something is working, the kilesas try to undermine it. Yeah? I mean, we need a lot of tricks in the beginning, you know, I mean, to get our attention back to the breath or on the Buddha. Yeah? So, any kind of trick, you know, that you use is fine. Yeah? But the moment the kilesas understand that this trick is, you know, undermine their power, you know, I mean, that, you know, they try to ridicule it, said, ah, this is not working, and so on and so on. Yeah? They undermine it, yeah? So, I mean, don't listen to the kilesas, yeah? And remember what I said, you know, I mean, about my own practice, yeah? I practice morning 1 hour, I practice when I came back home from work 1 hour, and before sleep, you know, half an hour, yeah? And on the weekends, up to 6 hours. Because it was so important for me. I mean, it doesn't seem to be too important for you, yeah? So that's why you slack off, yeah?
After a lot of time has been passing, I don't feel much hope for this thing to happen again.
I mean, that is the kilesas, yeah? I mean, think about it, you know, think about what did the Lord Buddha say, yeah? He said, if we don't walk one step ahead, you know, we go 2 steps backward. So if you don't try, if you don't persist, you know, then you won't go anywhere, but you actually walk backwards, yeah, if you stop, yeah. I know, you know, I mean, the kilesas really, you know, undermine our determination very easily. Oh, yeah, it's so hard, you know. I practiced for 3 years and it doesn't get me anywhere, yeah. I mean, I practiced for 7 years without seeing any results, you know. And after the 7th year, suddenly the results came. Yeah. I didn't give up. And you give up so easily because, you know, I mean, you listen to the kilesas and say, oh, it's all worthless, oh, I don't have enough merit, you know. Lots of people do that, yeah? But this is not the way forward, it's the way backward. Okay, understood?
Yeah, understood. Thank you.
Okay, any more questions? Sunny?
Thanks for your answer. Next, anyone? Let me see.
Hi, Lumpo.
Ah.
I got some questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
I noticed that in my daily life, right, I tend to want to do a breath meditation once I reach home after work. Mm. And I feel that I'm not calm enough doing body investigation. Is that my kilesas talking? Or actually,
I wouldn't.
Like, yeah.
What I would do is, you know, I mean, during working days, you know, I wouldn't do body investigation, yeah? I would just get the mind calm, yeah, in the morning and in the evening, yeah, and then do some reflection about your daily life, what happened, you know, what kind of feelings, what was the results of me saying this or me doing this, you know, just to look at it, yeah? But on the weekends, you know, when you're free, when you have nothing to do, I mean, after 1 or 2 hours of samadhi, you can do, you know, half an hour of investigation. Yeah. But I wouldn't do it during the week. Yeah. When you come here, you can do it. Yeah. Full time.
Okay. Then the other question is, I was trying to do body investigation the other day after a few hours of breath meditation. I realized that I keep seeing bright lights, but I don't see the body.
Mm.
So it's because I still haven't get the
You're getting distracted by the white light. Huh? I mean, if you...
It's like the bright lights...
It's a sign of concentration. You're breaking up. Fang.
I'm not talking. I'm not talking.
Huh? So what is the question? What is the question?
So my question was, I was seeing the bright lights and I can't visualize the body. So what should I do? Like, should I still continue and do body investigation until I see it eventually, or should I just let it go and stop doing?
I would say, you know, just like I said before, I mean, the white light is a sign of concentration. I mean, the brighter the light is, you know, the don't follow it, you know, put it in your heart and, you know, and try to pull it in your heart, yeah, and look into your heart, yeah. it's a good sign of concentration. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. If you want to do body investigation, do it on the weekend, yeah, and then, I mean, just take a book of anatomy, you know, and just look at one picture, you know, and then have this picture, you know, I mean, look at it for 5 minutes, and then have this picture, you know, when you close your eyes, you still have the picture in your mind, and then keep concentrating on it, yeah, until it fades away, you know, and then look at it again, yeah, and then try to concentrate it, yeah, on it, yeah, and look at it, you know, this is part of the body, yeah, or, yeah, I mean, the Do disassemble the body in all its bits and pieces, you know, and throw them out in front of you and look at it, you know. The leg, you know, the toes, you know, the fingers, you know, all of these things, you know, I mean, throw them out, yeah. Cut them off and throw them out, you know, and look at them, yeah. I mean, if you can't see them yet, you know, I mean, then train with images, yeah. That you look at it for a few minutes, you know, until when you close your eyes, you still have the image in the inner image, yeah? Okay?
Okay, Ken. I will go and try. I wanted to ask about right livelihood. So, actually, right, if a person is a doctor, he's paid to do so. So, actually, is this person still doing good merit?
Yeah, sure. If he helps people, you know, I mean, it always depends on the intention, yeah? I mean, a nurse, you know, can have really good intention to help other people. Or a nurse can have bad intention, you know. I mean, she wants to be a nurse to be acknowledged by other people, yeah. That is not merit, yeah. I mean, a nurse who really, you know, pushes herself, you know, to serve other people, that is a lot of merit, yeah. For the doctor, the same thing. If there's a doctor who just thinks about, you know, his money that's coming in, I mean, that is not merit, yeah? He just performs a, you know, manual task. Okay?
Okay, Ken. Then, I wanted to ask about the precepts of not lying. So actually, it also include no harsh speech.
It's breaking up.
I realize in the workplace, sometimes I will discuss with my colleagues some of the things that the subordinates does. So sometimes I do it with an intention to help. I'm also worried that I'm judging people and I'm causing bad karma. So not sure whether it's the right thing to do.
I mean,
like, you try to push the person, but the person is not like, it's resistant to push and not doing more, but yet wants a promotion, something like that.
I mean, I wouldn't call it going against the precept. That is normal. That is a normal way of, you know, of human beings. Yeah, judging people, of course. I mean, if you judge them to demerit them, then that's not good, you know. But it's not really against the precept, huh? to tell somebody, you know, he's good, even though we know he's really bad. That would be, you know, a lie, yeah. And, you know, sometimes we can use harsh speech, you know, I mean, to wake somebody up with the intention that we want to help him, yeah. But sometimes you are not sure about intention. So it wouldn't be breaking the precept. But if you want to, you know, if you want to put him down, you know, in front of others, then this would be, you know, then this would be against the precept. Okay?
Okay. And I got one more last question. I realized that in my daily life, the emotions usually come out before I notice them. For example, anger and frustration, which I'm not sure how to manage them better. Like, do you have any suggestions?
Yes, if you do your daily reflection, look what is happening before these emotions come up. Look at the thoughts, look at the things, yeah? And then tell yourself, you know, tomorrow, yeah? Because you don't see very clearly in the beginning. Then tell yourself, tomorrow I will have more sati. I will be more aware of what is going on, yeah? So that I see, you know, what brings up, you know, what kind of thoughts, sometimes you get out of bed, you know, with the wrong foot, yeah? And then the whole day is bad, yeah? And then you get easily depressed, or you get easily, you know, angry or something, because something is not working. But you don't know what actually, you know, happened in this morning, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories. Yeah? If you see them, you know, I mean, then you look and you retract, and then you see what is behind them, then you can pull the stone, yeah, that brings up, yeah, that brings up the avalanche. Yeah. Okay? Hello? Gone. I mean, is it our internet or is it Sunny?
No, I think it's your internet.
It's my internet.
Yeah.
Okay, so Fang, did you understand?
Yeah, thank you. I will go try. I will get back to you.
Now, when are you coming?
I'm coming in December.
Okay. So, next question.
Yeah. Anyone else? Good questions to ask? I think Longpo, there are no live questions.
Okay.
I'll just read the ones.
Then read there the ones.
Three. Yeah, I read the. There are three questions. So, first one, Venerable Ajahn Martin, is it harmful to get too calm too quickly? Sometimes when I sit down to meditate, I have the impression that my mind locks down into the movement of my lungs while I'm breathing, and it doesn't care about anything else. After 10 minutes or so, I start to feel a tingling sensation in my teeth and gums. It starts slightly pleasing, but it gets more intense. Then this sensation goes down to my back and arms. After 30 or 40 minutes, this tingling sensation starts to get overhand. It feels like I have energy moving from my chest to my back and down my spine. Then when this sensation goes down to my legs, it becomes too much and I have to get up, or my mind gets into other things. When this sensation reaches my legs, it feels nearly impossible to keep on meditating. However, this only happens when I focus too narrowly and too quickly on the breath. Could I be doing something wrong?
No.
Thank you so much for everything.
No, you don't do anything wrong. What is happening is, I mean, because you become concentrated very quickly, yeah? I mean, the moment something happens, yeah? When something happens within the realm of the body, like you said, tickling, yeah? I mean, you concentrate on this tickling and this becomes overemphasized, yeah? I mean, you should go back to the breath. That is the thing, yeah? You should go back to the breath. Know the breath is going in. Know the breath is going on. Out. Know that the breath is deep or shallow, that it is calm, yeah? So just go and concentrate back on the breath, yeah? I mean, there's no harm done, you know, if you get very quickly into concentration. No harm done. But this powerful concentration, you know, the moment you put it onto something else, yeah, onto tickling or things like that, you know, any kind of feeling, bodily feeling, I mean, this becomes overemphasized, yeah, and then it becomes unbearable, yeah. So just go back to the breath, yeah. Know the breath, okay, just say, okay, the breath goes in, okay, the breath goes out, in-breath is short, out-breath is long, yeah, it is deep or it is shallow, whatever, yeah, until you can stay with the breath and, you know, I mean, don't worry about anything else that happens within the body. Okay?
Okay, next question. I feel grateful and blessed to have found your teachings here on YouTube. These teachings contain
Breaking up?
Practice them persistently.
What?
Contain such a level of excellence that it's necessary to approach your guidance to practice them persistently. Just say thank you for your teaching.
Ah.
And in the end, with your permission, I would like to visit your monastery in the next 6 months.
Right. Yeah, yeah, you can come anytime. Anybody can come anytime, yeah. To visit the monastery, to stay at the monastery, to practice, yeah. This monastery is open for everybody, yeah. As long as you behave properly, you know. Yeah. I'm happy that you like it, yeah. I'm sure that there are a lot of people who don't like my teaching, yeah. So it's always the same. Okay, next question.
Yeah. For the last question. Good evening, Tan Ajahn Martin. I have been practicing Satipatthana and Samadhi and can now gain some level of Samadhi regularly. A few weeks ago, just for a few seconds, the heart seemed to have seen the non-self nature of Sankhara. Hmm? It seems that 98% of human experience, 98% of human experience is non-self and meaningless. The heart was stunned at this shocking truth, but it was a quick moment and hard to replicate. Since then, I felt like I don't know how to practice anymore. Could Ajahn please talk a bit about how to practice to gain more insight and wisdom? Is there a gradual path or a roadmap of what to investigate and how? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I normally give the roadmap. First of all, you know, get into samadhi until there are no thoughts and no memories coming up, yeah? And once you can get there any day, you know, I mean, that's what you said, you know. I mean, then start, you know, start with the reflection, yeah? Start with the reflection, the daily reflection. I mean, what happened with what kind of thought did I get up, yeah? What did I do, yeah? I mean, what was the result of my doing? What kind of thoughts, you know, while I was doing or while I was saying this, what kind of thoughts, what kind of memories, what kind of feelings were there? Don't judge it, you know? I mean, then go to the next and go to the next, yeah? Or the other thing you can do is, you know, start with the life when you were born, yeah? Go through it, you know, I mean, go back, you know, if you can't go there immediately, then go back, you know, last year, you know, what was happening, you know, and then the year before, and then the year before, until you come to the school time, until you come to, you know, learning to walk, learning to talk, you know, until you're back in the baby, and then look, you know, and then look the other way, you know, look at your parents, you know, how they work so hard, you know, and for what, you know. For the livelihood, you know, I mean, they spent, yeah, when you look at the normal people in the world, they spent, you know, 99% of their time, you know, I mean, working for this body, and in the end, you know, this body dies, and then in the next life, they have to work again for this body. And this kind of reflections, you know, can help you, yeah. I mean, the insight you had, you know, I mean, these kind of insight, you know, I mean, can spring up the moment we get into really, really kind of deep samadhi, but they are not lasting. And you cannot repeat them, yeah? I mean, it is, you know, these kind of insights go level by level, you know. The first time, you know, I mean, we might be shocked, you know, see something, you know, and then, you know, sooner or later we forget all about it, you know, until the next insight, you know, the same kind of a similar kind of insight comes, you know, that is a little bit deeper. Huh? And then an insight comes that is even more deeper. Until the insight, you know, that we get into the matter of things, you know, cuts away the kilesas. Or cuts away the fetters. Yeah? So, I mean, this reflection, the daily reflection, and then, you know, the reflection about life. What is it life? You know, the talk in the beginning I gave, you know. What is the purpose of our life? You know, why we are born, yeah? Somebody asked, you know, I ask these questions sometimes, you know. Well, why are we born, yeah? And then, you know, sometimes people say, to die, yeah? Why are we dying? To be born again, yeah? And then why are we born? To die again, yeah? And that, you know, makes the whole of samsara. And what you can do if your samadhi is good, you know, start to do with the investigation of the body like I teach it, you know, every now and then, yeah? Start, you know, disassemble the body, put it in front of you, you know, and look at the parts of the body. I mean, you can go according to the 32 parts of the body, or you can do it any way you like it. Just throw everything in front of you and look at it, yeah? And who sits there, you know, who sits there, who sees all these parts? Yeah? I mean, that is getting us to the detachment, yeah? Detachment from the body. To see, huh? The citta and the body are two different things. Okay, that's my advice. You know? If you have any other questions, you know, I mean, you have to ask, yeah? Okay, that's it, yeah? What?
Yeah. Thank you, Lampo. Yeah, there's all the questions that were submitted.
Is there anyone, something in the chat?
No, there's live question. Anyone?
Ah, Holland.
Hi, John.
Hmm.
How are you?
Yeah, how is your life?
Mm. It's good.
It's good? Okay.
At the same time. How are you doing?
Well, I'm surviving.
All right.
Okay, so ask your question.
I have a question with my motivation as well. It's not like the first person said, like, I don't have faith or anything, because my faith is not lacking. But I really have a lack of motivation to sit and practice. And I feel I'm pregnant again. I told you once before. Yeah. And I feel very tired. And I feel like I just want to sleep all day. And I feel a bit blurry in my head. And it's I can see the suffering of that, of course, and the discomfort of all of that. And yet it doesn't motivate me to sit and meditate. And also I try to listen to your talks because they're still very inspiring, don't get me wrong. And yet, like, before, it was really touching and really, really inspired me to do something. And right now I feel like nothing really inspires. I just want to sleep and go an easy way, and that's it. And I'm not sure what to do. Because actually I want to do it, but I don't feel it.
There's some blockage, you know, in your heart, you know. I mean, that blocks it out, you know. So you don't feel the enticement, you know, of practicing. It is some sort of dullness, yeah? So,
yes.
Then investigate dullness. Whatever blocks our path, we have to investigate. Yeah. So first of all, we have to see what it is. Is it dullness or is it resistance or whatever? And then we investigate that, yeah? And the moment we investigate dullness, I mean, the energy comes back, is coming back, you know, and then we can do, yeah? I mean, the energy in dullness, the energy is spread all over the place. It's not focused. But the moment we sit down, I say, oh, what is dullness? How does it feel like? You know, where is it? You know, where is it coming from? Yeah? And investigate it. Then suddenly the energy is focused, you know, and then we can do anything else. It's just like when you look at boredom, you know? I mean, investigate boredom or investigate restlessness. It's a dispersion of energy, yeah? And we leave it, you know, because we are too lazy to pull ourselves together, yeah? But if we look at it, what is the cause, you know? I mean, I assume it is dullness, yeah? I mean, you don't want to know anything, yeah? So, I investigate it.
And starting with, how does it even feel like in general?
Yeah, I mean, what is the feeling of dullness? Yeah? You know it, you know, I don't want to do anything, I want to sleep, you know, but, you know, really, you can't really sleep, you know, I mean, you're half dreaming and half sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, it's neither this or neither that, yeah? So investigate it, you know, and that puts our focus back onto what is there, And that, you know, that gathers all the energy into one point, yeah? And after that, we can practice again, yeah? For a little while, and then something else comes. Now, hindrances. It's one of the hindrances. Sloth and torpor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called. Mm?
Yeah, it's difficult to overcome.
Yeah,
but
because we see it as a blockage. Yeah. When you say it's difficult to overcome, yeah, you really don't want to get down to it. Yeah. You don't want to investigate what is hindrance, what is the blockage. Huh? How does it feel like? You know, I mean, huh? What is dullness? You know, I mean, we have all these names, yeah? I mean, hundreds, you know, different kinds of words for different kinds of feelings, you know, but we don't really know them. We don't know how they feel. We don't know, you know, what is behind them, and so on. Be interested in this, yeah?
Thank you.
Oh.
I have another question,
yeah.
Because I'm quite stuck in my thoughts sometimes with what is right and what is wrong, and at least when I don't practice too much, I try to to not be wrong.
Yeah.
And for example, I have, I've told you before, I have a very lovely boyfriend who is really amazing. And right now, while I'm pregnant, he's really trying to help also with everything. For example, like I feel quite sleepy and he wants to stand up because he feels energized. And I feel like, oh, I just want to lay for another half hour. Well, just an example, I feel the need to compensate with him because he does compensate. He
no,
does
no,
a lot
compromise.
Of and he's good in a lot of things.
I mean, see the merit of him. Yeah? See
but
the goodness in him.
Compensate.
See the goodness in him. I mean, it is your reaction. It's the same reaction that you have towards practice. It's the same kind of blockage, you know. I mean, you don't want to know anything. That is called dullness, you know. You don't want to be bothered by anything. Isn't that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct.
If you want to know what is good or what is bad, ask your heart. Because the heart gives you the answer. You know in your heart if something is bad, you know. I mean, the heart beats up, you know. If you know if something is good, you know, I mean, if the heart is calm. So if you have some bad thoughts.
Yeah, but for
thought,
a lot of things it's difficult. I try, but somehow.
Yeah, you're stuck in this dullness and you let it go and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah? So you have to pull yourself out, yeah? Or just wait until your baby is born, you know? How long, in what month are you in?
I'm 25, I'm due in the beginning of January, so.
Okay.
Three months
you have to pull yourself out, yeah? There might be some resistance, you don't, yeah? And we don't want to know anything, you know, we don't want to do anything, you know. I mean, this is dullness. You have to investigate it, yeah? Get out of it, yeah?
For example, when he gets up in the morning because he really wants to help me, for example, then I feel like, you know, it's very sweet of him and I want to accept it. It's good for me. And it's very nice of him. But at the same time, I feel like, no, I have to get up because I don't want him to do that all the time, which is very kind. And then I feel that need.
Ah.
That need to compensate with him. Do you understand?
Yes.
I want to let him do too much. Actually, I don't want to get up. I want to sleep. But I don't want to let him do the work. And I feel like I need to compensate with him all the time for everything that he does. And that is difficult, and then I'm not sure what is right or what is the right thing to do then.
That is quite typical of Germanic people, yeah.
Sorry, that is the?
Quite typical of Germanic people, of people from, you know, Germanic tribes, yeah. I mean, they cannot accept, you know, I mean, it is difficult for them to accept if somebody else does something for us. Because we feel we are not worthy of it. So it is the problem lies in self-acceptance.
Yeah, I accept till a certain point, but when
he's
better in me in everything. I mean, sometimes it's annoying because he's great in everything. And when I compare myself always to him, yeah, I always feel that. And then I feel like maybe it's good karma for me because I have a good husband, and then I feel better about myself. No. But at the same time, I feel like if I get that, why I can't be good as well, you know? I feel like I'm...
See, that's where the problem... I mean, you're already pointed at the problem. You compare yourself to him. And with this comparison...
Yeah, but then I feel like what is right and wrong.
Yeah, with this comparison, I mean, you get yourself in trouble. Just accept it. It's difficult, yeah? It's difficult to accept the love or the kindness of other people because we don't feel worthy of it. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Look in yourself, you know, I mean, yeah? And that's why I said, you know, a lot of Germanic people, you know, have the same problem. They cannot accept, you know. I mean, they love to do good things, you know, for to other people. But if somebody does, you know, does that to them, you know, they feel a bit awkward. Or sometimes in your case, you even feel annoyed. Because you cannot accept it. Isn't it?
Yeah, as well. But you just helps a lot more. And sometimes I choose the easy way, and then I'm, well,
okay.
I understand what you say. Yeah, thank you. I have a last question, if you don't mind. At work, I have a colleague, and it's with everyone. But this is one example. At work, I have a colleague, and for example, I have a problem with my eye a bit. I'm not sure if you can see. It's not really bothering me, but this colleague wants to help me, and she's very religious and Muslim. And she says, which is fine, but she says a lot of things like which her prophet says what you should do or you should do. Some kind of things. And actually, it's very kind for her because she really wants to help me, I understand. But she really says that I must do it this way. And I went to the doctor before, and the doctor says very different things. I have to do this and this. So I tried to listen to her help and see her trying to really be helpful and kind. But at the same time, her way of pushing something upon me, which I don't really want, or something like that. It is, I feel such annoyance then, and I really try to be thankful, and I really say, well, thank you for your suggestion. I will think about it, because I do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel annoyed for her pushing something upon me, which I really think differently about, and this is just an example. I mean, you get that all the time from people, of course, but, and then I feel so, I feel annoyed within myself, and then I don't want to feel that annoyance. I want to feel kind to her because I know she means well, and I'm not sure how to deal with that feeling.
I mean, follow, you know, whatever I say, you know, I mean, look at annoyance. What came before the annoyance? What kind of thought, what kind of memories, what came before that, what kind of thought, what kind of memories, what kind of feeling, what came before that, until you find what is the... And it is not much different, you know, with your boyfriend. You also feel annoyed. So it's the same thing, yeah? You see it? I mean, what I normally do is, it says, yes, yes, I listen intently, you know, I listen intently, you know, whatever the people want to say, so they feel accepted, yeah? But I don't necessarily have to do it. So you give her, you know, you give her the feeling that you listen to her, yeah? But you don't have to do it. Because this annoyance, you know, this annoyance creeps up, and that's why she tries to push it and push it and push it even more. Mm-hmm. Because you reject it, you know, the moment she says something, you reject it, and how can she not feel that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she pushes it.
Yeah.
Yeah? And your rejection becomes strong, and then she pushes more and more and more, and in the end you become annoyed. I mean, what do I teach? Yeah. You know, look at the situation until you see clearly what is happening. Then you don't have to ask me.
Okay.
Okay, understood?
Yes.
Understood, but not accepted.
No, this one I accept.
Okay.
Oh, thank you very much for your time again.
Okay, anything anymore?
I think there are no more questions.
Okay, so there are some...
No?
What?
Yeah, no questions online.
Yeah, there are some from the web.
What is... Nirodha Samapatti, can lay practitioners attain this? And how does it fit in with the Vichara and Apana Samadhi?
I mean, what is Nirodha Samapatti, the cessation of? I mean, it probably fits in, you know, it probably fits in together with the deep state of Samadhi. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if I have experience, you know, Nirodha Samapatti, you know, I mean, I don't know, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, the cessation, you know, also happens, and it can happen, you know, it can happen in the past moment, it can happen, you know, in in the deep samadhi, yeah. So. And, yes, as a lay person, you know, if you go into deep samadhi, I mean, yeah. But... Normally, yeah, I mean, like Lungta Mahaboy explained, it only can happen, Nirodha Samapatti can only happen to Anagamis or Arahants. They can go into this state.
Does reaching the state of Nirodha Samapatti, is it enough to prevent rebirth in a womb?
No. I mean, yes, if he takes the answer, you know, that only Anagamis or Rahans, you know, then you're not reborn in a womb. Yeah. But then you cannot attain it as a layperson because you have to have at least, you know, I mean, you have to reach at least Anagami, yeah. But deep samadhi, you know, I mean, what is similar, you know, similar to it, the deep samadhi, I mean, yes, of course you can be reborn in a womb. I mean, it doesn't solve anything. Investigation is the only thing that solves, yeah? Our attachment to this body, our attachment to, you know, to the five khandhas, you know, that is what we have to get rid of it. You know, just to dive deep into samadhi or go, yeah, in question mark, you know, go into Nirodha Samapatti. I mean, that doesn't solve the problem. You come out of it, you know, just like Lord Buddha said, you know. I mean, he was in the eighth jhana. I mean, the eighth jhana is amazing, you know. I mean, wow. You come out and everything is the same. Your desires are still there, you know. I mean, you haven't solved any of the problem. If you do not investigate your attachment to the five khandhas, I mean, you will never get out of it. And you will always be born, yeah. in a womb, yeah? Or go to heaven or go to hell, yeah? Or any kind of other realms, okay?
In modern democracy, some rules such as the levy of taxes, rights of individuals are changing from time to time, and they affect the general population adversely. If this person avoids paying taxes or violates government rules by lying, are they breaking precepts?
Of course. By lying, you know, he said it already. Yeah? No matter what, yeah. I mean, we live in a society, we do have to accept it. If you don't like this kind of society, yeah. And actually, you know, when I look at the world, there is no democracy. There's only kleptocracy, yeah. Oligarchy, yeah. I mean, there's hardly any democratic, you know, state in the whole world, yeah. They're all, you know, the powerful, all, you know, take whatever they can get, yeah. So, yes, of course it is, you know, I mean, lying is breaking the precepts, yeah.
Next. In Buddha Dhamma, the first precept is to vow not to kill or harm any sentient being. How then should a soldier in the front line whose sole responsibility is to prevent and eliminate invaders fulfill the requirement of this precept?
You cannot. Unless, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha said it about a hangman, and it's the same thing, you know, the same thing for a soldier, yeah? I mean, you get the order to kill this person, you know, and you follow the order because, I mean, that is what you do, yeah. But the moment, yeah, I mean, and he said it, in the moment you take joy into this kind of work, yeah, yeah. And the bloodlust comes, you know, after three kills, you know, I mean, you get the bloodlust, you know, and then of course you cannot, yeah, then you cannot kill, then you will break the precept. I mean, don't become a soldier, yeah? I mean, refuse becoming a soldier, or become a soldier, you know, a staff, you know, I mean, somewhere, you know, where you're not on the front line, yeah?
Fisherman, professional fisherman.
Yeah, it's the same, yeah, I mean, he kills a fish, you know, a butcher, you know, kills the pigs and the cows, you know, unless, you know, he takes the meat from a factory, you know, where he doesn't have to kill. The moment you kill, you break the precept, yeah? And a fisherman, you know, professional fisherman, yeah, I mean, if he fishes for the rest of his life, you know, and kills a fish, yeah, and doesn't put them, you know, somewhere, you know, where they can still alive and say, okay, take them, you know, and let other people kill them, yeah? I mean, he will be born as a fish, just like the butcher will be born as a pig or as a cow, you know, the animal that he slaughters constantly. He has to experience the karma. That is what karma is about. We have to experience what we do unto others, you know, for ourselves.
What about pet lovers who keep cage birds? Are they harming sentient beings?
Pet lovers?
Pet lovers who keep caged birds.
No. I mean, you feed them, you know, you give them whatever they want, you know. I mean, that is not harming any living being, huh? But if you know, if you have a horse, you know, and you know you're in a bad mood and beat it up, you know, I mean, you feed it, you normally feed it, but you know, in bad mood you beat it up, that is harming, yeah. But if you keep it in the stall, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
In his book, Wisdom Develops Samadhi, Ajahn Lungpa Mahabua, while referring to tackling the defilement, says the following: While curing will the defilements, one must not wait to develop sila first, then samadhi second, and panya third, which may be through developing samadhi stage by stage. For this is always in the past and future, and one would never be able to attain common happiness. May Ajahn kindly explain the meaning of the above.
I mean, I explained it so often. I mean, I said, when we look at Sila Samadhi Panya, there are three columns that we have to raise at the same time. I mean, without... The dogs. Without sila, you cannot really enter deep into samadhi. Without samadhi, you know, you will not be able to be aware of what you do wrong. Yeah. Without panya, you will not see, you know, the fine defilements, yeah? Or the fine, you know, breaking of the precept. So you raise them all, you know, at the same time, yeah, to build your house, yeah, of nibbana on three columns. Yeah, then it is stable. You can, I mean, lots of people, especially in Germany, and I heard it so often, I mean, we have to perfect sila. No, you cannot perfect sila if you don't have awareness and if you don't have wisdom. Yeah? You have to have wisdom to see what you're breaking. Yeah? So, you have to raise them, and that is exactly what Lungta said. You know, you have to raise them at the same level. But in the beginning of our practice, there might be, you know, there might be something that is, you know, that is missing for most of us who are coming from the West, samadhi. So we have to push up a little bit of samadhi. Yeah? For other people, it is sila. They have to push up sila, you know, until they are at about the same level and then develop them together. Yeah? The better wisdom becomes, you know, the more we see how we transgress, you know, the precept. The more aware we are of what we are doing, why we are doing, and what the result of our doing, the more clearly we see breaking of the precept. Yeah? So sila becomes automatically better the more we are aware and the more we have wisdom. Yeah? And when sila gets better, you know, our samadhi deepens. Yeah? And when our samadhi deepens, you know, our investigation, you know, will deepen the wisdom. Yeah? I mean, they're all connected to each other. Okay? Understood? Sani? Ah. My knee hurts. Ah. Is there anybody there?
Yes, huh? We are here.
You didn't fall asleep, yeah? Okay. So let's end it for today, if there's nothing else, yeah?
Yes, okay. Thanks, Lampo, for the Dhamma talk and the answering questions tonight. Let's all pay respects to Lampo, my Baba, and keep times together. Lampo, see you next month.
Okay. When you're coming to Udon?
About, I think, 19th, 20th of October.
Okay. See you then. Yeah, I probably see you only for an hour or 2 hours, huh?
I'll come for at least 2 days. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Any one of you has a question? Yeah, then ask them.
How do you deal with anxiety?
You have to see what comes before anxiety. First of all, you know, accept the feeling of anxiety, yeah? And then ask yourself what came before, yeah? Is it a memory, or is it a thought, yeah? And what comes before? I explained it, you know, I mean, retrace, yeah? Until you find, yeah? And then, yeah, I mean, and sometimes, you know, I mean, we are born to die, you know, I mean, so what I'm afraid of, you know, the body dies, you know, and then I get a new body, yeah. Then we close the session, yeah? Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.